Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Well, that's not exactly true. I just found out like 2 seconds ago that Nicole is stuck in Newport, good place to be stuck on vacation. And we'll miss her tonight, but of course I'm hoping she's enjoying her night off. And I always love when she's here because she's the voice that makes all of us know that men aren't responsible for anything. And she's also the bad cop on the show. She's the one that gets a lot tougher than I get. So she's going to be missed tonight. We're also not having a show next week because it is vacation weekend. So we'll return on July 19th again. So I'm glad that I'm here tonight, and I'm wishing that Nicole has a wonderful, wonderful vacation. And so I hope you all had a nice 4th of July. We had a very good one out in the Hamptons. It didn't seem like the 4th of July because it was pretty deserted. It's kind of weird when 4th of July lands on a Wednesday. So TJ wrote a blog, my husband, that we should really make it the first Monday of every July so that we can have a 3-day weekend. And the blog seems to be going pretty viral. People have a lot of opinions on that. But it just seemed like yesterday, the 4th of July came and went without really feeling so 4th of July. So we do have a lot of listeners tonight. And since I don't have Nicole with me, I'm going to try to jump in as soon as I can to ask any of you if you have anything you want to share with us. If you do want to talk to me, you do have to press the number 1. I know it doesn't always tell you that on Blog Talk, but I have no idea if you want to talk to me unless you press the number 1. And so when you press the number 1, I'll pick you up. So I see we have listeners, but no one is pressing 1 at the time. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit about why good people can't leave bad relationships. I did get an email today from someone all the way in Denmark and who read the book Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and she was in a very unhealthy relationship for 20 years. And after the reading the book, it took her a few months to figure out this relationship was never going to get better. And the part of the book that she said helped her the most was the part in dealing with the fact that we can't fix people. I know a lot of our listeners are fixers. We think if we love people enough, give them enough chances, we can fix them. And what this woman wrote was that she had tried. He was an alcoholic and an abusive alcoholic. I mean, he wasn't fun and games. And after 20 years in relationships, do work in that 5-year cycle, she had come to the conclusion that she couldn't fix him. But she never actually heard anybody say, it's okay to finally say, I can't fix someone. And she seems to be very happy. And, of course, I'm telling her she's got to try to get through this without drama and trauma as much as she can, and that's what she's striving very hard for. So I'm always glad to get those emails from another part of the world that this book has helped them a lot. Okay, besides being fixers, she was also said she wasn't good at punishing people. So the other part of the book that helped her a lot was realizing that sometimes punishment means we have to say enough is enough. And punishment might be walking away. And it helped her to read in the book that God sees to our intentions when we leave someone. And her intention in leaving him was A, self-preservation, because she was going to go down with the ship with him. And she already has a few health issues, including an autoimmune disorder, which is not uncommon when you're in an abusive relationship, because you tend to beat yourself up. You're not mad at the other person. You're really mad at yourself for putting up with it. So she knew that her life pretty much depends on her health. And her intention was self-love, self-preservation, and to teach him that you can't go on being abusive. And so I'm very proud of her ability to have walked away. So that was a very interesting email. Yesterday at a 4th of July party, a man was 87, and he told me something that they used to do in Munich in like the 50s and 60s and early 70s when you wanted to meet someone in a restaurant. And I thought this was a great idea, and maybe we should try to do this in our country rather than dating apps. Maybe we can meet people more. It was called flirt balls. And what a flirt ball is, if you would go into the restaurant and you'd be given, say, maybe 5 or 6 flirt balls. They're like little foamy balls of some sort. And if you like someone, you could throw a ball over to their table. And if they liked you, they could throw the ball back. And you didn't want to just throw these balls randomly because you only had like 4 or 5 of them or maybe 6. So, you know, if you threw all 6 of your balls, you gave that person 12 balls to be able to, now 12 more balls to be able to throw back to someone else. So it was a really fun way to meet somebody. And I thought, well, maybe we could do that. We get a flirt balls. So when you're out at the beach hut this summer or at a restaurant, someone could throw you a flirt ball. And I thought people were so much more creative in the 60s and 50s and 70s, how they would meet people. So I don't know if any of you listeners there have a comment on that. I know Jean's listening and Karen. Do you think something like throwing a flirt ball? He was also telling me they do something also interesting in Munich. When they have a beer fest, they wanted people to be able to talk to each other, so they played the music fairly low. They didn't blast it the whole time, and sometimes they would just shut the music off. And when you ordered a beer, attached to your beer mug was little sayings. And they would be sayings like, you know, what was the funnest thing you did all year? And you were supposed to go over to somebody you liked with your mug and show them the question and say, well, what was the funnest thing you did all year? And the person would answer you. So they either use the mugs or the flirt balls to get people to mingle. So I thought that was a great idea. So I'm going to pick up Karen because I know Karen is trying to find love. So I want to see what Karen might have to say about some of this. Hi, Karen. How are you tonight?
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Good. So how do you like that idea about flirt balls or like little messages on mugs that you could walk around and ask people questions?
Oh, I love the idea. I just always say, like, I don't know, we're just so busy every day. It's just so hard to even have time to do anything extra and special and meet new people. It's the hardest thing in the world when you're in your routine at work.
Exactly. And so when you are out, say, in a restaurant, and there's oftentimes a lot of single people in a restaurant, but you're not going to go up to somebody's table, you know what I mean, because people will be looking at you like, what are you, nuts? And so doing this was just their way of saying, let's just have fun with it. And even if, you know, nothing came of it, it really was a way of breaking the ice on walking around the restaurant and having fun. So I know you've been looking for a soulmate and wanting a soulmate. And, you know, your dad's saying, Karen, you got to get out there. So do you have any plans this summer a little bit?
No, I'm off the whole summer, and I don't have much plans. I'm doing a couple of things around the house now. I just had my first week off. But, yeah, I just find all my friends are married, and, you know, they're just doing things with their kids and family. And it's, you know, I don't have one single friend that could even go out.
Okay, so we have to work on that. So have you ever thought of joining like an exercise class or a gym or a yoga studio or something where you can maybe meet some new friends?
Well, now I have extra time, so I definitely look ahead.
This summer should be more like I'm going to make some new friends, and through those friends I can meet a guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, not necessarily I've got to go out and find a guy this summer, but expanding your friendship world, because if you don't have any single friends, that's a problem. And, you know, you do need to get out there and meet people. I know Jean, who's always listened to the radio show, she is a Facebook singles page, and they tend to do things at different places and get together, and I think that's a great idea. And, you know, just, you really, your dad is like, cracking me up. You're going, Karen, you got to get serious. You're going to be starting work in September. This is your time to, like, get out there and change your life a little bit. So you're not going to change it by, you know, I know you got your getting your house in order, but you also need to just kind of get out there.
Right.
And try to, I mean, do you have an interest, something that interests you that you'd like to sign up for?
Right now, I'm just finished work, so I just need to decompress for a week and then think about it. So I got to get a little focused and motivated.
Right. Because what I do see in your cards is just, you know, you're supposed to have a soulmate, and your dad can't airdrop him into your, you know, bedroom, although he'd love to do that if he could. So it's kind of figuring out, how am I going to get out there? How am I going to find somebody? And, again, expanding the friendship world is usually the best way. And, you know, coming up with some ideas, it has to be something you're interested in. You know, you can't just go to a Star Trek convention and you hate Star Trek, because you're going to meet Trekkies, and it's not going to be fun.
Right.
But
no.
It might be a time for you to explore some of those options. You know, you're a nice person. You go places by yourself. You're not afraid to go by yourself. I've seen you come to some
right.
of my events by yourself. You're not afraid. And just, again, this is supposed to be your year of finding somebody. And we have to come up with some fun ways that break an ice in places, because it's really awkward to walk up to people, or, you know, you don't know how they're going to respond. That's what I liked about
right.
the idea of the flirt ball, because it already
yeah.
broke the ice. And, of course, you don't have to throw the ball back. And
right.
so it'd be funny, because he'd say all these attractive women would have, like, 20 balls, and they could just keep throwing them wherever they wanted, because, you know, guys would throw them, and they wouldn't throw them back. But, you know, he said it was, like, a really fun thing to do. So we really have to figure out ways. And, you know,
yeah,
this summer, is your son going? Yeah. Is your son going to his dad this summer?
He's with his dad now. I'm picking him up tomorrow. We're meeting tomorrow halfway. And,
okay.
He's a mess. Oh my God. He's a mess. That one. He's
your ex
miserable.
Is a mess.
Yeah.
Well, he was miserable with you. He can be miserable without you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm very happy. We filed our papers. I had a lot going on, Cindy. You missed a lot. I refiled our papers because he moved out of state, so I had to refile it when he got his taxes. So I just did that. And then my boss changed jobs, so she left, so we're getting a new boss. So it's interesting. In September, I'll have a new
Yeah,
principal.
Okay, so you've got a lot of changes, and I'm sure you're a little nervous about some of them. You know, The new principal looks like she's, you know, it's a she, by the way, do you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
Because it looks like a female showing up here. Looks like she is going to, you know, like you, so you don't have too much to worry about there. Try not to worry about it too much. So that actually looks good with your new principal. And with your ex, yeah, he's a hot mess, and your son has not so enjoyed his stay there. I don't know if he's been telling you that, but it's
yeah, he's coming
not been
early.
Easy for him. Yeah, well, I would want to come home. It's like staying with somebody who has the plague, okay? It's, like, not fun. And unfortunately, you know, your husband really didn't help give you a little bit of a break, okay? You know, you're a single mom now. It would have been nice for you to have a break that you didn't have to worry about your son.
Right. No, I worried about him all the time.
It was kind of torturing. Your son is losing patience with his father, what I could see here. So it was kind of like good that he's coming home.
Right.
But does he have to go back again this summer?
No, he's actually busy with football and some ex-school activities. So I don't think he's going back this summer.
Good.
September, he's supposedly coming in. But I want to tell you that the other night before he left, I had a dream I was waking up that his girlfriend's pregnant. He whispered this to me. So I wanted to know if I was crazy or if it really was a connection we had.
Oh, my God. Older. Let's hope not.
I know. She's much
Let's
older.
Let's hope not.
I'm gonna
How
ask
old is his girlfriend?
When I think like 49, 50. Yeah, she's much older.
Right. I think she probably would have tried to get pregnant if she could. You know?
Yeah.
But I don't see her being pregnant here.
Okay.
But what a disaster if she ever get someone pregnant. He's not very happy with her. The relationship is not very good.
No,
you know,
it's terrible.
It's not a happy and healthy relationship. So, again, your son is seeing very toxic love, not happy love at all. So you're the only one who's got the chance to show him a better version of love. So I hope you go with your son to his events. Are you going to go to some of them? Because there might be some single fathers there.
So far, they've all been married. I've been looking, and I definitely go to all his events. But I've only met people that were married, that their families were there. It was never any alone single men.
Yeah, well, sometimes the single parents are working, you know what I mean? So they can't always go to events. But,
right.
You know, keep seeing if you could meet people because you really do need to get some single friends, okay, because it's really ridiculous. And, you know, and even some of your married friends might be nice if they have a barbecue or something if they can invite you too because, you know, sometimes there's single people that can come there too. Just because you're married doesn't mean you don't have any single friends. But, you know, it just seems like so hard to meet people. And, you know, I don't want you to spend, you know, more than a few months alone anymore. It looks like this guy is coming. So please get yourself out there. And again, with your son, he really needs to be a better role model of a man. Your dad's not here to show that. And he really needs to see it. You know, your husband is very cheap too, so he doesn't want to give another dime more than he has to. So I hope these papers get all signed soon and the divorce goes through. You know, it almost looks like he doesn't want the divorce to go through because he doesn't want to have to marry this other woman. And I think you getting the message that she's pregnant was that she would have already gotten herself pregnant if she could have to make sure he marries her. Because he was telling her you were stalling the divorce rather than the fact that he was stalling some things.
Right.
And, you know, she expects him to, like, marry her when, you know, eventually. So I don't think he wants to do that. So you might be getting some messages about that. He's not happy. He almost doesn't want the divorce paper signed.
Right.
So scary. Notice
how
he replaced you quickly. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
then,
and I was hoping.
And this is what I always tell people: you were going to sacrifice your whole life for a man who replaced you really quickly. You know, remember, you didn't want to divorce him; you wanted to keep this together. And it's kind of scary when you realize how fast people can end up just breaking up with someone. You know, when you break up with someone, how fast they can replace you. Isn't that scary?
It is, and I'm just so much happier without him. So I was just relieved that
he
had to moved
have someone,
away.
He had to have someone else, or he would have never left you alone.
Yeah, he can't
you
be alone.
That.
Yeah.
No, not for 1 minute. And so, again, if you want to manifest a soulmate, some of the things you can do, do you keep reading your soulmate list that you've written, what your ideal soulmate would be like? Do you keep
I do.
To you? Okay.
Yeah.
And you do realize that it's not going to come unless you make it happen.
Yeah.
Okay. And
I know.
I know you've. Okay. And also, it looks like the universe has kept your soulmate at bay also until your divorce papers were final. You know, a lot of people don't want to get involved with someone unless those divorce papers are final. Because, you know, too many people say they're getting divorced, they end up not getting a divorce. So it's kind of like you want to be clean and fresh and nothing holding you back.
Right.
Whatsoever. So that really looks good. And you need to talk to your father said you need to talk to your son about some of the things that went on there with his father.
Oh, yes. Sure I do. I got a little bit from both of them. They both text me. Mike thought it was wonderful that he shared some of his childhood with his son this vacation. And I explained to him, my son didn't need to know every little detail what happened to him when he was a kid. And that's one of my first things to talk to him about. I wish he didn't have to share so much, but he was trying to bond with him. And that's the opposite to do with my son.
Yeah, well, also, it didn't come across like he was bonding with him. It came across more that he was trying to make excuses for his behaviors to your son.
Gotcha.
By this is what happened to me, and so this is why I act this way.
Right.
And it also was like, your son's a teenager, and you have to, like, when you're talking to teenagers, you have to let them be the ones who let you know if it's okay what you're talking about. And
right.
your son was giving off vibrations that this is, like, too much information for me right now. Like, you could tell me this maybe when I'm 30.
Right.
But he wasn't picking up on the vibration, your husband, that your son was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, you have to realize it's not right to be doing that to your son. And that's what he ended up. And, it just wasn't right. And so your son was very uncomfortable, squirming, and he wasn't positively sure everything his father was saying was really the truth either. Like, was it exaggerated? Was it what? It really wasn't right that he shared this without even asking you, should I share this with our son? And it was kind of a manipulation on your husband's part. And I always tell people, when you have kids, say someone had an affair or something like that in your marriage and your kids don't know about it, you shouldn't really let young children know about this. The only time you have to let them know about it is when they're older and they're going through a similar thing. You could share then, okay, because they're grown-ups. But he was sharing too much, and it made your son extremely uncomfortable. So it went the opposite of bonding.
He thinks he's wonderful. He's like, oh, he cried. He's so connected with me. I'm thinking to myself, oh, this guy is out of his rocker, that he thinks that my son would even deal with this or should deal with this. I was very upset.
Well, because it was your son's vacation. He doesn't see his father enough to do this. And, your son didn't ask for group therapy here. And it ended up being a form of group therapy that your son really didn't appreciate. Okay, and, when we're going through things, like, because, you divorced your husband, so certain things are coming up because, divorce brings up stuff. There's sometimes when we're going through hard stuff, we have to tell our children. I remember when I was going through some hard memories of my childhood, and, my daughter came home from school, and sometimes she could be a pain in the ass, as all teenagers are, and I'm sure she thought I was a pain in the ass too, but she used to always say, if I ever came home in the day and mom was lying down or watching TV or lying down, I think she's dying because, that's not me. And I was lying down in the bed, and it was kind of in a darkened room, and she was going to start in with her teenage stuff, and I just looked at her and I said, today is not the day. Okay, it's not the day. I said, I'm just going to lay here for 2 hours and do nothing, and then I'll get up and make dinner, but you're not to bother me for 2 hours. I didn't share with her what was going on, but she took one look at me and said, I think I better leave mom alone, okay? It wasn't for me to share with her at that time, but it was okay for her to see me that I was upset. But, you don't, especially I hadn't processed this stuff. Your husband hasn't processed it. You talk about this stuff after you're healed with your children, so that you can talk about it like it happened in a past life, so you're not sharing your angst with them. What is your son supposed to do with his father's angst? He's a kid. What is he supposed to do with that? So, your father says you have your hands full when your son comes home with some of this.
Okay.
He may not want to talk about it. If he doesn't want to talk about it, just let it drop until he's ready to talk about it. Okay, but it really was not appropriate conversation.
Wow. I hate that he said that. He ruined his whole week.
Yeah, well, your son just finished school. He wants to have fun and games. He's a kid. Let me just have some fun. I mean, it's just, he just was kind of raining on your son's parade. So I wouldn't make too big an issue with your ex because it'll only backfire. He thinks he's bonding. Okay, whatever. Okay? Because otherwise, it'll just make for trouble. Just make for trouble. Well, do us a favor and call in again and let us know what happens with your son because, it's one of the things you have to be careful. If teenagers need to talk, they'll talk. If they don't want to talk, they won't talk. But did it deal with, violence of his childhood, your husband? Is that what you're sharing?
Yeah, I believe it was violence. I'm not sure if it was sexual. I don't know how deep he went into it.
Yeah, I know. I said you do not discuss your sexual abuse with your teenagers, okay? Because they just don't even know how to handle that. I mean, I as a grown up always want to handle it. You as a grown up don't always want to handle it, but teenagers,
a lot of that didn't serve
too much information.
So later too, like much after our marriage ended, I think a lot of it surfaced in his mind. I'm not even sure when it all came together for him. So
these things would happen after a divorce because, you know, you're shaken from some of your security and some unhealed issues surface. But, you know, you haven't been separated that long, so he's not healed enough to discuss this with your son.
Right.
Okay. Your son shouldn't be crying for his father. Okay. I mean, you know, you can't present this stuff to kids because, you know, it's a pretty lot for them. You know, you can discuss it when you're healed from it or when they're a little bit older or if they're asking you what's going on, that's different. But that's why I said it looks to me like, you know, your father said he was trying to shut up your husband. He was trying to tell him to shut up, but he didn't listen. So, you know, your son may ask you about some of it. Did you know these people? Did you know? And just answer as honestly as you can, because it isn't going to do good to lie now. Do you know what I mean? Like, whatever you know, you might confirm or to say, I don't know about that. I didn't know about it. But just be honest. I mean, you needed that like a hole in the head.
I know. The poor kid. Well, he's been through enough. He doesn't need that crap.
Oh, I know,
all right,
sure.
Thank you so much.
Well, we're going to try to pick up another caller tonight. And thanks for calling in. And let us know when you meet your soulmate, please.
I will. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye. Okay, I'm going to pick up. Jean, I know you didn't push one, but I'd like to hear about how you think about the flirt balls. You think it's any kind of a good idea? We can get going here?
Yeah, I like it.
You know, there's got to be some ways that you can get to meet somebody without having to, like, approach them in a, you know, serious head-on rejection if they don't want you or if they're not interested, you know.
Yeah, no, I like
a lot of people.
I like, you know, the restaurant or, you know, another place, whatever, any outdoor thing. I have to think of some other way to do it because I went on a terrible date last week. It was, like, ridiculous.
That's why I'm picking up, because I know you said you wanted a date, and I said it's too soon to tell. It didn't look great in the cards, but I didn't want to totally contaminate you, okay?
Oh, it was bad.
So,
it was bad. You know, like, people...
All right, so where did you meet him?
I met him... It was a friend of a friend. Like, you know, I never really...
Okay.
I didn't meet him. One of my friends at work, he knew somebody that was, you know, looking online and everything, and I didn't meet him online. And, you know, oh, he goes, you have the same things. You like the beach at night. You like this. You like that. You know, so I said, all right. He goes, oh, why don't you just meet him one night or whatever? I said, well, you know, here, give the guy my number, whatever. So we met at Jones Beach at Field 4 at the new restaurant area.
Nice.
And he sent me a picture, you know, wouldn't FaceTime or anything, but sent me a picture. Picture was like 10 years younger than the guy was. He's retired, wants to spend, all, you know, during the week, you know, to do a lot of things during the day. But when the Yankees are on, you're not allowed to talk to him or call him or do anything because he sits home and watches the Yankee game. And he's been doing that for 40 years.
Wow.
How are you going to meet anyone with that limitation? Plus, he smelled like an old man.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. And how old was he?
60.
How old do you think?
60.
He's not old.
No.
How could you smell like an old man when you're 60?
Yeah, he smelled stale, like, you know.
Stale like cigarette smoke?
No, not clean.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so.
Oh, God.
I was there for an hour. And he's like, oh, we're hitting it off well and everything. I said, no, not really. And I listed the things. I said, I'm sorry, you're not a match for me or anything. And, you know, I don't want to waste your time or my time and, you know, like that. But I would go with the flirt balls in a minute.
Yeah, just because,
you know?
Say you're sitting, like, you know, at the beach hut, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, you see a cute guy, you throw it over. They laugh at anything. They get a ball, they thank you, they wave back.
Right.
And they can hold the ball. But you don't feel like you've got to walk up to somebody and be rejected.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's kind
That's
of
exactly.
just makes it also a more fun, less uptight energy. I remember doing
right.
a singles event that I had to be the speaker at it, okay? Now, I stopped in the middle of that lecture to say, first of all, I wouldn't approach anyone in this room if I was at a single event. Okay, you're all giving off this energy around your body, like you've been hurt, don't approach me. Some of you women have come in a pack of six people. Who the hell's going to permeate six of you? Are not being friendly with each other as if women saw each other as competition. No, well, maybe you can, like Karen, just meet a new single friend at the event. You don't have to meet a guy, but there's a new single friend you can
right.
go out with. But the energy was so bad, I was like, no. So imagine that something has to change the energy of single events. Like if it's a single event, something has to lighten it to make it more playful or fun and bring you back into that more fun energy where this is just something fun. And, you know, even if you get to, you know, bring your little balls home, and maybe you feel flattered that
right.
you got 20 balls, even if you were interested in the guys, 20 people, like, were
right.
interested in you. So it's some way that has to be. I'm glad you went on the date. Let's talk about, you went outside your comfort zone. It didn't turn out the way you wanted to, but you gave the person a chance. I mean, this is what you have to do.
That's my new outlook. I'll give people chances and stuff, but I'm just tired of, like, the lying and the, you know.
Oh,
I listened to that for how many years, you know. But I think that's the way it is today.
Well, I will tell you, you know, being a dating expert, you know, we keep talking about all these new terms, orbiting, which means they don't you know, they ghost you, which they disappear, and then they follow you on social media. Or they crumb you. They don't call you, and then they send you a text to see how you are. They put you on the back burner. All of these just translate to me to be, you know, he's a dick or she's a dick. They're narcissists because this is ridiculous. All the game playing, all the lying, all the manipulation. It has to be, you know, something has to change in the dating world because it's really getting a lot of people jaded.
No,
they don't want to get out in there.
It's to the point where I'm like, do I really want to go out? No. You know what? I really don't feel like it. I don't feel like being friendly right now. You know, it's very depressed. Like,
that's a depressing thing.
Yeah, to get yourself up that much and then, like, oh, no, another one. Like, you know, my daughter laughed at me. And she's like, Ma, I don't know what it is with your age group. Well, it took her a long time, too. But it's to the point where I just sit there and, like, I know why the singles group, everyone is, like, doing stuff together and everything. Because they are happy with themselves right now. If somebody comes along, fine, and is interested in them or they meet them somewhere. But right now, it's to the point where nobody really wants anything. It's terrible.
No, it's
nobody
wants to commit
to anybody,
which is ridiculous. And so I'm glad you have the singles group. You have a single group you like because then at least you get to go out, get to be out in the world. You feel like you have friends. I mean, that's important.
Yeah.
It's just because isolation is bad for people. You know, they said that that being isolated and feeling lonely is as bad as smoking like two packs of cigarettes a day for your health, okay?
You
can't be alone.
But like,
okay, you need to get out there.
Yeah, yesterday I did stuff around here and then I went out later. But I had to drive my friend to the airport. But one of the other girls put something on the singles group. My car's getting fixed. I need a ride to go get it. Is anyone around such and such a time? That's the kind of group it is. It's like, you know, if somebody's around, they'll go get her, they'll bring her, you know. And that's what you really want. Those are your new friends that you never had before.
Right.
And
that for single people, you feel alone, like if there's some, you need help, there's nobody there to help you. So it's really great
right.
that, you know, you can do that. And
yeah.
and I'm glad. And you helped create this in your world. You decided, I'm not going to sit home. I'm going to get out there and try it. And you're not going to love everybody in the single group. Some of them aren't going to be exactly who you love or what you your interest. But so what? Like, people have to stop thinking, well, they don't, like, I have people, some of my clients, well, I didn't like some of the people in the group, so I like the other people. But also, like, why can't you just find a common ground of conversation? Do you know what I mean? There's,
well, that's it.
That you
but
could
also,
talk about.
You don't have to, if the person that you're not happy with posts in an event, but you don't like that person, so don't go to that event. Go to something else.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
I,
and also, we have to get over liking people or disliking people. I mean, it's like, you know, say for this political climate where people have really diverse views of what's going on. Okay, well, you don't have to like or dislike someone based on their political views. Okay, talk about something else. You know, there's a million other topics in the world. So find the common ground you can with people.
Exactly.
I'll notate things about people. Like, you know, I'm not a fan of prejudiced people, okay, of any sort.
Right.
But, you know, some people are prejudiced, and I just think, well, they're younger souls and they haven't learned, okay? And, you know, if they say something, I try to change the topic to another topic. Let's switch the topic. But I don't dislike the person because of that. I just feel they know not what they do, okay? They haven't evolved enough for that, okay? But I try to still see what, you know, other conversations we could have because, you know, you're not going to agree with everything with people.
Well, that's like
and you
with
don't
the guy.
You're not marrying them.
No, it was like the other night. I was like in my mind doing pros and cons, you know? And I'm like, first of all, you know, I work, and then you're going to want to do me to take time off or whatever. No. You know, all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, and he's Bayside. And I'm like, no. It was just so many negatives. You always have to give the benefit of the doubt. I always try to find good in everybody. You know?
Great.
He's never been married, so that's one reason why you're never married. Because you don't leave during baseball season.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And I'm like,
and also, it shows that he's built a life that's about him. You know, it's not sharing. It's not, I mean, TJ is the total opposite husband. He could be watching a movie. He could be watching baseball. If, you know, if I'm finally free, he's like, shuts it off. Like, you know, it's like, because it's more important that we have that time together than whatever he's watching. And sometimes I'll say, no, it's okay. You could finish watching. He goes, no, that's not that important. You know, and I'll say, no, if you want to, go ahead. But it's putting your priorities straight, you know, like, please.
That's exactly.
And he has to find a girl who's a Yankee, you know, find somebody who's a Yankee fanatic then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, see, I have, I have my priorities. I have my quirks and stuff like that. But I think I'm pretty, like, all around, you know, person to get along with.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, and I'm sitting here.
But also, okay, let's talk about things. If you're looking for a potential mate, please take a shower. Please wash your clothes. Okay?
It's like
if you're going for a job interview, and I know he's retired, so that's why people get really sloppy sometimes with their, you know, grooming. But if you were going for a job, you wouldn't go smelly. You wouldn't go with smelly clothes. You would be clean. So it's respect
and
for someone.
And all wrinkles and crap, like, when's the last time you did your laundry? And I'm like, looking at him like, I went home and showered and changed, you know, put nice shorts on and shirt and everything. You know, it was casual, but, you know, come on.
You were clean. I'm saying these are fundamental things. You know, it shows respect. You want, when you go on a date with someone, you want to feel like they made a little effort to look their best for you. Okay? They made a little effort.
That's not the first time that has happened to me. And I don't know if it's just...
You mean where a guy was smelly?
Yeah, or, you know... unmannered, even, you know, terrible manners, chewing with his food, with his mouth open, all kinds of things. And I'm like, is it all the people in my age group? You know, what is this?
Well,
you think you're 60 years old now, so, you know, you've got it. You could do what you want.
This is definitely maybe our generations, because I remember my parents' generation. They were all well-groomed even at their deathbed.
Right.
You know what I mean? They had manners. They were clean. They were well-dressed.
The singles group, a lot of them are 40s and 50s. They're right. You know, I would say 40s. 40s and 50s. Some of them are like just turning 50. Some are like 55, 58. They're all respectful. They're all, you know. All right, you can go to a dinner, like, in a T-shirt and shorts or whatever, but it's clean.
It's clean. Clean. You watch
and,
it. It's clean.
And, yeah, it's clean. And you're polite. And even if you don't like the person, you still respect them as a person.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, just,
so if you're out there in the dating world.
I was home in an hour.
Okay,
yeah.
I don't blame you. But if you're out there in the dating world and you want to meet someone, please put your best foot forward. Nobody wants to be with someone who's like got tartar on their teeth. They haven't brushed their teeth in a year or something. Come on, brush your teeth. You know, clean your glasses. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that was another one. The glasses were filthy, yes.
So okay, I remember calling it, you got the skeevies from these people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and once you get the skeevies, you can't date anymore, okay? So, if you're just, you don't want to give people the skeevies. So, clean yourself, look nice, make an effort,
seven things to my list of wants.
And clean is one of them. Please be clean. Right.
Yeah,
and
clean was one of them
is just. And it's another thing, if you're going to, have people over your home, please clean it, straighten it up.
Yeah.
One of my clients he was going on, met a guy online, and she thought he was like really perfect in every way, because he did look, was groomed, he looked nice in every way. And, when the time came for her to go to his home, he was a hoarder. And it was she never saw anything like this in her life. But she didn't get any hints of that from his babe. And it was like, how can I be with a man like that? Like, I can't even walk through his space. I can't even, he goes, well, he has all these piles that he's to sort through. And he has, like, mail, like, piles of it that he's never opened, and all of a sudden I said, well, that's a form of OCD of some sort. The man, And it was like such a turnoff to her. So think about it. Like, if you're living in clutter and all of that, declutter a little bit. Get rid of, make space. I say when you want love, you have to make space for love. That means clean up your space. Leave a drawer or two open and empty. Clean out that you don't have to watch the Yankees all the time. Do a little decluttering of your life to let somebody in. And,
well, the best of this whole thing was I had Bobby's car. I never take my car on a blind date. I was stalked once. Somebody ran the license plate, and they ended up in my ex's driveway because I had one of my kids' cars.
Wow.
They go, oh, my friend is a cop, so since you didn't call me or text me, I ran your license plate and saw where you live. My ex-husband, Francis, was hysterical laughing.
Wow.
Like, I'm the ex-husband. So, he goes, oh, you have a really nice car and stuff. Why don't you have a house? Why are you in an apartment? You must make a nice amount of money. And I'm like, that's not anything on a first date that I would discuss.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So also, let's talk about first date etiquette, okay? Do not ask. This is not a job interview. Do not ask them their salary. You can figure out a lot of stuff without asking questions, by the way, okay?
Yeah.
But they don't have to answer 800 questions to you. It's not an interrogation, okay?
No.
A first date is supposed to be a meet and greet, get to know. If you have a deep soulmate connection, I wouldn't be surprised the conversation gets very deep, okay? But that's with a soulmate.
Right.
If it's just a regular kind of date and it's not ever, just make it fun. Because you may never see each other again. Why do you have to know all that about me if you're never going to see me again?
Right.
Like, can we just enjoy the dinner?
I never tell you where I work. I tell you what I do, but I don't tell you where I work. I'm very cautious on the first date.
Of course. And, again, it should feel like information flows naturally. You don't probe, don't, you know, nitpick, and don't judge. Like, nobody wants to be judged, but you're like, oh, okay, let me tell you what he did wrong. You should be living in a big house. You shouldn't be living with your job. He's already judging your lifestyle. Like, who asked you to judge my lifestyle? Do you have any idea what my bills might have been, what might have been in my life? But don't judge people. You know, nobody wants to hear that, what you should be doing. Come on a first date, are you out of your mind?
So I left Jones Beach, drove down to Cedar Beach, went to the new salt catch, whatever. Two of my friends were there, and we sat there, and we were hysterical laughing for another hour.
Good.
And that,
good.
That
well,
was my
I just think
the next.
You... Okay, well, you went out there. You can't make this stuff up. It's kind of funny about it. Sometimes you got to laugh. But, you know, it should seem like if you want to meet someone, then you have to make some efforts get yourself act together a little bit. And please, nobody wants to come in your house all cluttered up and you're whatever. Come on. Sort through your crap. Make it so – I mean, I couldn't believe this woman because she like thought she was in love with this man, but it was like – you couldn't, she said, how can you live like that? You know, it's like, how could you even think about living with a man who lives like that? I mean, it's like, you know, so I said, sometimes, you know, you got to meet people in their own environment. You got to see how they live. You know what I mean? You got to see some of this stuff. But I'm glad that you shared that with us. I know when you texted me, I kind of didn't look great, the cards, but I said, look, I don't want to tell you something right away because what are you going to do? You got to go there. And there's something for you to learn in this.
Right.
But also, you don't have to spend more than an hour. If you're not happy, get out of there.
Oh, I always an hour is my time. Usually one of my kids will text me an hour and 20 minutes, you know, or whatever, so to see if I'm okay. So.
Right.
So
when
Michelle
texted
me, I said, I'm walking to the car. She goes, oh, that good, Ma, huh? I said, yeah, Michelle.
Wow. Well, at least you met in a nice public place and you got to see Jones Beach a little bit, so it wasn't a total waste.
No.
Well, I'm glad I got to speak to you about some of it. We got
to
come up with some ideas. What can people do? I'm
going
to try to like maybe write a blog about it, so maybe some you know, restaurants might come up with it. But I mean, I thought it was such an ingenious idea. You know, how people could just...
We would go out to our weekly dinners in the restaurant. It would be a great idea. It might be more people other than our group.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So that it's just... And it's just a fun thing. And even if, you know, the person just laughs when you said it and smiles at you and keeps the ball, it's all meant to be fun. And like this guy said, nobody ever... threw a ball back to me, but he has no bad feelings about it. He loves the concept of it. Do you know what I mean? He just found it fun. So I just think we have to figure out how do we meet in this world where people just seem to not be able to meet. And, you know, blind dates are not always great because you're sore.
No.
it's kind of scary.
I'm getting tired of them, you know. I really am.
All right, but don't give up.
Oh no, I'm not giving up.
Don't give up.
Like, don't waste my time. I will talk. I'll put more effort into talking to the person first, or stuff like that. You know,
right. That's what I would say. Because you can tell a lot just in a conversation.
Right.
A lot comes out in talking to someone for more than 15 minutes. Not texting,
I talked to them like twice. The other ones we were texting back and forth. And you know what? I'm not doing that. I want to talk to you in lane.
Texting,
now,
I would say,
I
refuse to go out on a date with someone that I haven't spoken to on the phone.
That's it.
Okay.
That's exactly
You have to speak because Because there's a lot of DNA in a voice. Like if it's a soulmate or a strong connection,
oh, yeah.
a lot's registered through the voice. Two, you can
right.
tell if they're well-spoken or educated or kind. Their prejudice come out very quickly. Their judgments come out very quickly. The text, not so much. But when you talk to somebody for a solid 15 minutes, you get a pretty good inkling of who they are. Okay? And it only takes 15 minutes. You know, you can really tell a lot. So, yeah, let's make it some dating rules here that we have. A, take a shower, be clean. Make sure your clothes look clean, declutter. Speak on the phone for 15 minutes at least before you meet.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't make the first dates interrogations or job interviews.
Right. That's what I felt like.
And refrain from your judgment of people. Nobody really wants you to judge their life. Okay.
No.
Nobody. Nobody.
Yeah, you don't know how they got
here. No. And it's like, you know, really, don't give me your opinion about things because nobody really, really cares. Okay. So keep it light and breezy on a
first
date.
You know, you think I'm going to open up on the first date how I got to where I am today? Hell no.
No. And by the way, if it were a very strong soulmate connection, yeah, you might.
Then I would.
And he might too.
Yes.
Right. But on the average date, it ain't happening. Okay.
Right.
But you know, with soulmates, there's that feeling you've always known them, the recognition factor.
Right.
That feeling of closeness that you just open up and share. Uh-huh. And, you know, a lot of times if you've been divorced, and you're on the first date, you just say, you know, it was a divorce. You know, you've been there. You know, we've been there. We'll talk about it another time. Okay. But, you know, you just kind of mention it and they mention it, but also a sense of humor. But please work on your conversation skills, people. You know, and if you're shy and you don't like to talk a lot, most people like to talk about themselves way too much. So you just be a good listener and you'd be surprised how fascinating they're going to think you are. And all you did was listen. Okay, so you don't even have to, you know, if you're a shy person, that doesn't mean you can't get out there and meet people, you know, and do it. But, well, I'm glad we had this little talk about dating because I think it's really something that's crucial in America. We got to find better ways of getting people to meet. Got to find it because it's just people are getting lonelier and lonelier and not good, not good.
Yeah.
And you don't want people getting discouraged. You want them to get out there and keep looking. But, you know, every time, you know, you go on a date, it doesn't go well, well, you just got yourself out there and you tried. That's all you can do.
Right, and then I come home and I add more things to my list.
Things that you never even thought. And it's so funny because the younger generation, the girls in their 20s and 30s, on the top of the list is he should work. Like, wasn't that a given that men went to work? I can't believe that's what people put down. Because, no, a lot of men don't work. So this is crazy stuff. Go to work.
And not live at home. And not,
oh, God, yeah.
The young girls quit work and not live at home.
I mean, these are things. Come on, go to work. You know?
Right.
You know, it's important. Well, I'm going to try to pick one call. Another caller, I think it's Pat, who sometimes calls in, so. All right.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing because you always help, especially on a night when Nicole's not here and I really need other people to be my, like, hostess. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Thanks. Let's go over. Hi, Pat. You're live and on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How was your holiday?
Okay. It was very good. Now, are you and Grace back in good graces?
Yeah, we're talking, but I have talked to her today. I haven't talked to her since last Friday. She was supposed to call me when she went to the doctor, but nothing. We talk, but I don't know. It's just strange. Something's going on there that I don't know about. I don't know what it is.
Well, it seems like a lot of strain in the house between her daughter, her mother. I mean, it's the same. It's nothing new. There's nothing new here. It's the same nonsense. And, you know, at this point, are you starting to get ready to move on yourself?
I think maybe that might just be the best point because a whole week I haven't talked to her. She said she's going to call me, and then she doesn't. And I tried to put it into my brain. I know she's very busy. I know she's got a fanatic place over there. So I kind of let it go. But then I wonder, well, I don't know, is she seeing somebody and not telling me about it? Then I said to myself, I don't think she has time to see anybody else either. So I don't know. It's just
no, it seems like her daughter is very happy to have monopolized her,
mm-hmm.
okay, to have her mom all to herself. And,
well, I figured that much.
You know, and, of course, she's, you know, spending a lot of time with her daughter right now. And, you know, it's just not looking great here for her. She's a little bit depressed. Okay.
Great.
She also needs to focus on getting a job, which she's, you know, really does need to focus on. You know, and what I'm seeing for you is, though, it's time to move on because she doesn't look like she's going to get her act together anytime soon. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily, you know, give up on her entirely, but you have to start thinking about where your world's going to be going and what's best for you because you're getting lonely.
Yeah,
do you realize you're getting lonely?
Yeah, I know that. I mean,
you know,
here by myself, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? They're doing their own thing. Whatever she's doing, and I'm not included in some of the things that she's doing, so something's not right there. Why is she holding back? I have to ask her things, and then she told me, but I don't know. This is crazy. Pretty much the really why I was calling is because my friend in Florida, Tony, I'm curious about him. He's told me that he's got cancer. He's telling all kinds of things, and I was curious what's going on with him.
Okay, who is this person to you?
Tony. He was a friend of mine since the 70s. He knew Mickey, you know, one of the Shirelles. That's how I actually met him, was through her. And we've been friends for a long time. But when my mom and I were down there one time and we were at the house, we were babysitting his dog. And for some strange reason, his dog never did this. When I opened up the door for the mailman, the dog ran out and ran down the street like a nut and got killed. So my friend Tony's never really been the same since that point. And then when my mom passed away, there was some stuff, before my mom had passed away, there was some stuff going down down in Florida, because that's where we were at the time. And my sister had come down with a friend of hers, and my brother wound up telling me that Tony was the one that was taking them to a lawyer because they were trying to get my mother to sign some papers. But he never told me, and they never told him. My brother wound up telling me. But he never said anything to me. So I know somehow or other he's changed. When I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, I talked to him and I told him, you know, what was going on. He told me that he's got cancer, he's got not going to live, he's got maybe 6 months to 2 years between there, blah, 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 blah. I said, okay, so we're talking and we just got into the subject. And I said, when this happened with my mom, I had asked for justice and everybody that had tried to do me wrong has gotten paid. He said to me, I guess that includes me. And then he could on saying something, other things. And I think he realized what he said, that, you know, I put my foot in my mouth. Because I haven't talked to him since, and I've called him already 3 different times, and he hasn't called me back. And I think that might be the reason why he hasn't called me back, because he thinks I'm going to say something to him because he screwed up his big mouth about he was the one that went and got the lawyer for my sister. I'm not sure. But I'm just curious of what's going on with him. What do you think?
Well, I just think you came to the conclusion. What you said is truth.
What I said is true, yeah. That's what I thought.
So at this point, mm-hmm. it's almost time to, you know, let it go and
mm-hmm.
Don't contact him anymore unless he contacts you, you know, because otherwise you're going to find yourself really upset about the whole situation.
Yeah, well, it's not bothering me. I mean, he deserves what he's going to get, but it's just that I did want to talk to him because Grace reminded me. That, you know, we gave him over $5,000 when he was getting out of trouble with the way he used to live with his friend Bonnie. And I wanted to know, well, he's telling he made all these arrangements with his will. He's done with this and everything's taken care of, the house and blah, 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 blah. Well, wait a second. I want to find out, did he make any kind of arrangements to pay back all of his money that he owes? He's never paid us back and this has gone since 2008?
No, it doesn't look like he's going to pay you back. So,
I don't think so,
you know, that's what's going on here. He doesn't want to pay back. And, you know, if you want to get paid back, you're probably going to have to take him to small claims court. Otherwise, he's not paying.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know how much you want to do that, but that looks like what you're going to have to be doing.
No, just curious. But I told Grace today, actually, But she asked me if I talked to him, and I told him, I think this is what happened. He realized he put his foot in his mouth, that he admitted that he was the one that caused part of that problem also by taking my sister and the friend to the lawyer. And he realized what he said, and now he's ashamed to talk to me. I said that to her.
Right, yeah.
So now, and I figured that's probably what it is, you know. But, you know, pretty psychic myself. And I said, you know what, this is what it sounds like.
Yeah, you
to
figured
me.
It
so
out. And you didn't really need me.
Yep.
You didn't really need me. You figured it out.
I always need you. I always need you. But
okay. But I'm just saying.
Are there any openings for Monday night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The July 9th. It'll be at Great Neck Library.
Did you tell anybody about that?
No, I didn't. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, it's free. It's a free lecture. And it's about life after death and honing your psychic abilities. It's a really good lecture. I've done that one several times before. So I hope to see you there. I hope you can come. I know it's a little bit of a ride for you, but I'd love to see you there.
I don't care. I'd like to come. I'm going to actually have to call the library, right, to tell them that I'm coming.
You can call them, but if you don't get to call, you can just come. They, you know, it's just to, you know, they want to know about how many seats to set up. You know what I mean? So if you get a chance to call, do. If you don't, just come anyway. So
I was telling Grace about it, if she wanted to come too. So she's going to think about it, because I know it's tough for her to get out with her mother. Once she sees her mother at nighttime, forget about it. She can't
maybe it would be a good thing if you both came. You know what I mean? That might be good for the two
of
you.
That's what I thought.
Very good.
I'll tell her that's what you suggested. Maybe it'll change her mind.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So anyway, we're at the end
really
of our show, and I hope to see you on Monday. Good night, everybody. Have a great week. And remember, we have no show next week, okay? It's vacation week. Okay.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.